Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we're talking with Trent Hoff down at Hayward Bait and Bottle again, and then we've got an interesting interview with our local Wisconsin DNR fish biologist Max Walter again, talking about walleye regulations. And then lastly, some great walleye tips for ice fishing from walleye tournament pro Corey Sprinkle. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Keep your resolutions to have more fun and get more done during the Polaris New Year's sales event at Hayward Power Sports. Get your perfect ride and take advantage of financing as low as 3.99% and rebates up to $1,200. The Polaris side-by-side lineup has it all. Get more done with a hardworking Ranger, elevate your adventure in the versatile General, or live your life wide open in the high-performance Razor. With accessories from cabs and heaters to plows, track kits, and more, you can dominate whatever nature brings. Rather have an ATV, work in the woods, or tame the trails on an unstoppable sportsman. Looking for a ridiculous bargain? You can get a 2020 Polaris Sportsman 450 ATV for less than $100 a month. Don't miss out on the Polaris New Year's sales event at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77 or online at haywardpowersports.com.
Offer valid in the U.S. through 2/29/20. Subject to credit approval. Rebates and financing vary by model and year. See Hayward Power Sports for details. Always wear a helmet. Never drink and ride.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu, and while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering, right next to Cooper's Family Restaurant in Hayward. We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and helping out, we've got Trent Hoff down here. Good morning, Trent.
Good morning, John.
Yeah, and ice conditions are a lot better now than they were just a few weeks ago, and a lot more people seem to be getting out right now. What are you hearing for reports?
Yeah, we're seeing a lot more ice now, thankfully. You know, we're hearing anywhere from 10 to 14 inches. That being said, you know, the top could be anywhere from the top 4 to 6-7 inches, though, is actually just all that compacted slush and snow that firmed up, and the bottom half seems to be the good clear ice that's weight bearing. But still, just be careful when you're out there.
As far as what are they catching out there right now, huh? Anybody going after walleyes yet?
Yeah, there's still people chasing walleyes. However, it does seem like the bite is getting a bit lighter. They're starting to downsize and be successful on the walleyes. Same for the panfish as well.
Yeah, panfish. I mean, crappies, bluegills, they be getting both? Or
yeah, actually, a pretty good amount of bluegills. Crappies are hitting a bit lighter than the bluegill, it seems, and so it's a little tougher catch.
A lot of times this time of year too, you get the best crappie bite right around getting close to dark too, and even after dark.
Yeah, certainly. And we have had a few people saying that it does seem like those crappies are, when they're coming up to feed, are sitting just a little bit above those bluegills now.
You hearing anything on northern pike? I know we got northerns in just about every lake up here. DNR actually is encouraging people on a lot of lakes to keep these 20, 22, 23 inch pike, fillet them. We got pike just about everywhere, or we didn't not that many years ago, and that's a fish that's really works well for ice fishing with tip-ups.
Absolutely. I mean, just a super fun fish to go for in general, but they also taste really good. That Y-bone can be tricky, but once you get the hang of it, it's really not that bad.
What are the guys fishing with? Mostly tip-ups on them, or are some guys jig fishing?
We're seeing mostly tip-up fishing, and of course you can jig them. It's a lot of fun. But yeah, most part we're just seeing people sticking with large shiners and northern suckers on tip-ups.
Talk about a couple other things. You know, I got a couple of ice fishing tournaments coming up here, a contest. Down on the Chippewa Flowage, Deerfoot has that Freezer Buns Crappie Tournament. That'll be February 1st and 2nd. And then the big Walleye for Northwest Wisconsin Family Ice Fishing Contest will be, or event, will be on February 15th, and that's a big event. And you know, that club, a lot of the money, almost all the money that's generated from that thing goes back into stocking fish. And the neat thing about that is that there's so many door prizes and raffle ticket prizes and stuff goes on out there. You go out there, you got a good chance of winning something.
Yeah, they try to make it fun for all ages, too.
Again, that's February 15th for the Walleye for Northwest Wisconsin Family Ice Fishing Event. And where do they get information? They can come right down here at Hayward Bait and Bottle?
Certainly. We have some flyers hanging up. Otherwise, you can just ask one of our workers here.
Let's talk about ice fishing equipment. You guys got pretty much anything that anybody needs for ice fishing equipment in here, and you got some pretty good sales going on this time of year.
Yeah, we do. We got augers, ions on sale, a few other brands. Shacks, we got good prices on, and of course we even have some good prices on electronics right now.
And you're starting to get some of the new stuff in for next spring for open water ready.
Oh yeah, we're already thinking about that, planning ahead. And there's going to be some pretty cool new colors, some new lures coming out this year.
A lot of the musky stuff is already showing up, it seems like.
Yes, actually there's going to be a show for musky tackle, so we're excited to see what comes out of that.
You bet. So there'd be a lot of things going on coming up here. We got sports shows, we got a lot of events and things going on between now and spring. People are starting to think more about open water the later we go. You know, we're going to have to take a break right now, Trent, and hear from some of the fine sponsors that help make this show possible every week. And we're going to come back. We've got a really interesting interview with our local fish biologist from the DNR here, Max Walter, talking about walleye regulations. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hunters and Anglers, Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in Hayward. They have a huge selection of ice fishing gear, including portable shelters, power augers, electronics, beaver dam tip-ups, ice rods, and just about anything you'll need for ice fishing. They also have archery supplies, bows, crossbows, muzzle loaders, ammo, and much more to help you enjoy the outdoors. While you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Hit the trails with the Polaris New Year sales event at Hayward Power Sports. This is Johnny, and we have a nice selection of brand new 2020s, and they're all ready for fun. Hurry in for rebates up to $500 plus 0% financing for 12 months, or get 3-year warranties on select sleds. With excellent riding conditions, they won't last long. It's the Polaris New Year sales event at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
See dealer for details. Polaris recommends a rider's ticket training course. Wear a helmet and safety gear. Never drink and ride.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And myself, John Marriott, helping out is Trent Hoff down here at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And Trent, you know, it's been a few years now since we got Max in here, but he seems to be pretty aggressive at trying to get things done and working with the people.
Yeah, he's definitely helpful that way.
Let's hear what Max had to say about walleye regulations and a lot more. We're down to the local DNR officer talking to our biologist, Max Walter. And Max, let's talk about a little bit about some of the size limit stuff. You know, it was just a couple of years ago now we saw a major revamp in the size limits where we had slot limits and some of that stuff going on. And it's really seeming to make a difference on some lakes that shows up.
Yeah, you're right. So, you know, lots of lakes changed back in 2015. For some, it was a pretty significant change. Think about like Sand Lake going from an 18-inch minimum to the 1 over 14 for walleye. Some of them, it was a more subtle change. It was kind of that high slot, that 20 to 24-inch closed slot.
Right.
So, you know, we've had a few years now, had some surveys happen. We're kind of starting to see how the populations are growing into these different regulations.
I know on a couple of lakes, there's only a couple of lakes that have that 1 over 14 limit. I know moose, they seem to definitely be responding with, we're catching a lot more fish over 15 inches that we got to throw back, you know, than we were. I don't know what Sand Lake's responding, but how about the other lakes? Are you hearing anybody coming back telling you that they're seeing a difference in the size structure on the lakes?
Yeah, you know, that 1 over 14 limit is one that we kind of reserve for our kind of our highest class of walleye waters where they're reproducing really well, really consistently. We know there's going to be new fish coming in, if not every year, almost every year. So lakes like Moose, Windigo, Sand, still doing pretty well with that regulation. Others that don't have as many fish coming in, either the recruitment's a little more inconsistent or we have to even stock them. You know, that's where we're using those minimum length limits and trying to keep those fish out there a little longer. The good news is in those situations, typically they're growing faster and they're going to hit that minimum size, 15 inches or whatever, without too much effort.
Well, you know, I consistently hear people complain. I kind of triple flowage there. Well, size limit ought to be 1 over 14 or 14 inch minimum rather than 15 inch minimum. But regardless of where you place that minimum at, that seems to be where your fish seem to stack up at, doesn't it?
Yeah, the flowage is a really good example. And that's one, you know, we're taking a hard look at it every year because, you know, we went with the minimum length limit out there at a time when there weren't a lot of new fish coming in. The recruitment was really on the fritz, and you know, there's questions about, you know, whether that population was going to collapse. So we definitely went a little more on the conservative side. Sitting here today in 2020, I think it's the first time I've said 2020 out loud. you know, now we've seen a few good year classes come in, so now we're kind of at the point where we're going to really take a hard look at what the regulation's going to be going forward. So people that are frustrated with that 15-inch minimum length limit can at least understand that we're looking at it, we may do something different that might be a better fit for the flowage.
Well, you know, but then my point, what I see is that, you know, if you move it to 14 inches, right now you got a whole lot of fish that are 14 and a half, 14 and three quarter inches. Right. Then you're going to wind up having a lot of fish that are 13 and a half, 13 inches, because for some reason walleyes get harvested once they get to be a legal fish, and very few of them wind up going back.
Yes, that's a good point. So, yeah, whatever we do, it's probably not going to be just, you know, moving the goalpost by 5 yards, which is what, you know, I would say, you know, dropping the size limit by an inches. It might be a totally different configuration. It's something I'm really, you know, spending a lot of time looking at. And, you know, how do you balance all these things that people want? You know, we don't want to harvest the fish when they're real small. We want to give them a chance to get up and spawn. But we also, you know, want to let people take some home. But we also want to keep the catch rates pretty high. Nobody wants to go back to the days where they're fishing all day and catching maybe 2 or 3 walleye. People like that they're catching 30 or 40 in a day now. So, you know, it's a really tough thing. And I think walleye, more so than any other species, it's hard to have our cake and eat it too. But we're going to try to find something that's the best fit. And then the other key is keeping those year classes coming in. If that can happen, we have a lot more options on the table.
I think it'll more likely be some kind of a slot because, you know, I don't know if you know this, I've said this before to you or not, but anybody that's followed my radio show here since it's been on the air for like 30 years. But anyway, I've talked to a lot of professional walleye tournament guys out there over the years, and one question I've asked them, and none of them have said they've ever seen a quality, what they call quality walleye fishery managed with a minimum size limit or anything other than a slot limit of such.
Yeah, slot limit's a great tool. You know, the only knock against it, so to speak, and I don't know if I agree with this, is that it can be complex. It can be hard for anglers to understand. Is it an open slot? Is it a closed slot? Are you harvesting in that range? Are you letting fish go in that range? I don't really adhere to that. I like to give people a little more credit. I think they're smart enough to do it, and so that's why you're starting to see a lot more slots out there on the landscape. Our ability to customize them to each individual water body is somewhat limited, but for the big, important lakes, you know, we want to make sure we have a regulation that's the best possible fit. So,
especially nowadays, because we already know that our walleye reproduction on a lot of lakes is significantly dropped over the last 20, 30 years.
Yes, right. And there's lots of places we're stocking that we never had to stock before. So, you know, walleye very much right now are in flux, and we are trying to respond to that and keep up with, you know, all the changes that are happening with our management. So it's It's not easy right now, really.
It's not just here, too. It's Minnesota and Michigan all over.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, our scientists, our researchers, you know, they're talking to people from other states. I was just at a meeting with the Minnesota DNR the other day, and, you know, it's amazing how many of these issues cross state lines, whether it's, you know, panfish issues, walleye stuff, concerns about technology and all the stuff that's out there that people are talking about here is getting talked about in all these other states right now. And honestly, that's why we go to these big meetings and get together with other folks and see what solutions are being developed elsewhere.
Well, you know, people can blame technology. We've gotten to where the technology out there is unbelievable as far as finding and helping you catch fish. Or you can blame the fishermen getting better equipment, better knowledge. But the one thing that we need to look at is every individual fisherman out there needs to look at, do we really need to keep every walleye we catch?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that's going to be a really important conversation in the next few years. I don't think anybody on, you know, the DNR side wants to say, you can't have this technology. This technology is too good. That's not what we should be about. But, you know, we do have to look at our limits appropriate for the numbers of fish people are catching. We can have a conversation about, you know, individuals and the choices they make. Do you need to keep all those fish? Do you know about selective harvest? Things like that. So it's a very interesting time to working in this field where it seems like every year the technology is just, you know, making a light year jump to something we couldn't have even conceive of 3-4 years ago, right?
You bet.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Anyway, you know, even Frank Pratt, I remember when Frank years ago, I had discussions with Frank, and one thing he was adamant about was that he said that, you know, I could leave the season open year-round on different fish, but as long as I can regulate them with regulations, I don't have to restrict how people fish or their equipment or what they do. The regulations are the big key, he said.
Yeah, you know, Frank's right about that, 100%. You can devise a system where if you know the fishery can sustain 100 whatever walleye being harvested in a given year, you can do that a whole bunch of ways. You could have a very short season with high bag limits and let people get their fish in 2 or 3 months, or you could have a long season with a little bit more restrictive limits. You know, it's all just kind of how we divide things up, more or less.
You know, and there's been some pretty good success stories, even with the lack of reproduction. We've had some positive results from some of the lakes up here. I've seen some positive results from some of the lakes in Minnesota. And, you know, it's just a matter of stocking is one thing, but stocking is not the ultimate answer either because, first of all, it's expensive.
Right, yes. And we want to... people don't always like to hear this, and for a certain crowd, I think it's counterintuitive, but... you know, you don't want your lake to be getting stocked. You want those fish doing it on their own. Mother Nature is far more successful at making little fish than we are, and we have fantastic hatchery staff, hatchery facilities. Wisconsin is probably the best state in the whole country at doing warm water stocking like walleye and muskies. So we're playing with every possible advantage, but stocking still, you know, despite all that, doesn't work in every situation. So having healthy ecosystems, good habitat, responsible, sustainable fisheries management, that's all really important to keeping these fisheries going.
Do we have any waters here that have zero reproduction, or are they all just down from where they were? My point being is that with proper regulations, if we didn't have as high a harvest, maybe the natural reproduction would be a little bit, that's there, would be a little bit more effective. So do we have reproduction on some of these lakes in any significant amount?
There's still quite a few lakes that have a significant amount of reproduction where we don't have to stock, and in fact, the number of fish that are being produced in these lakes is still far greater than what we even could stock. Chipperflowage has been doing pretty well lately. We mentioned Sand Lake, Moose Lake, Windigo Lake's done pretty well. Sand Lake, Grindstone, Round, those ones are all still doing pretty well if we're talking about walleye reproduction. Muskie, you know, we have a number of lakes that are still doing it there too. So it's not across the board, but... you know, there's quite a few that used to have a lot of walleye reproduction that just don't anymore.
You don't have any, or they're just lowered considerably?
Yeah, lowered to the point where it's almost undetectable. Certainly if you're an angler, it's not producing enough fish that's going to keep you happy. So, you know, some of the really notable examples there would be like Big Chetak, Nelson Lake. Those are some large lakes that used to kick out a lot of walleye, and we just are not seeing them anymore.
So even regulations wouldn't be the answer there. You'd still need to do some stocking.
Right, and we have been stocking those lakes. But regulations are kind of, you know, part of the overall strategy. And in fact, in both of those situations, we tighten up the walleye regulations. We raised the minimum length limits up to 18 inches in both cases to try and, you know, keep those fish out there, build up that adult density, give them, you know, every chance we can to spawn, get it done on their own. And in both cases, it's been quite a few years now since we've seen good reproduction. And I don't know if or when it's going to bounce back.
You know, we're sitting here at just after the first of the year, and usually every year you do have a big fisheries symposium thing. Are you going to have that this year, you think?
Yes, we're looking at it. It's probably going to be a little later this year than what we've done in the past few years. I'm kind of looking at the second half of March. So I'll certainly, you know, update folks through your radio show, newspaper, all the ways we're usually getting a hold of folks and let them know when we've got a date for that.
You know, he's done a tremendous job on that. A lot of good information. And actually having it later might be a good idea because people are really starting to get foaming at the mouth wanting to get out of open water by that time.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. Yeah, as long as open water doesn't surprise us and come early, I'm thinking that late March could be a really nice time to talk fish.
Max, been very interesting talking to you here. I want to thank you very much for coming on here and keeping us informed.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Well, he's interesting to listen to, and we're going to take another break right now, though, and hear from more of our fine sponsors. When we come back, we've got another interview with one of the walleye tournament pros out there. He's also a fishing guide, Corey Springle. So stay tuned, folks. We'll be back right after these messages. Carlson Motorsports is Hayward's newest auto dealership. If you're looking for a used vehicle, stop in today. Carlson Motorsports is located just north of the intersection of Highway 63 and 77 on Windrose Lane. Give them a call today at 715-634-1347.
Pet owners, if there's a word better than inexpensive, it's free. Hayward Animal Hospital has always offered a free wellness exam with the vaccination of your pet. Your cat or dog will be given the highest quality and most comprehensive vaccines available to ensure continued protection against a variety of diseases with no hidden exam fees. The next time your pet needs vaccinations, consider a free wellness exam and Dr. Ostrander's over 30 years of experience. Hayward Animal Hospital is located on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and co-host today helping out is Trent Hoff down here at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And, you know, a lot of the things we've gotten into the fishing nowadays, whether it's equipment, the locators evolved, and the rods and reels, a lot of stuff has actually been fueled by tournament fishing out there. They come up with, they need this thing, and they design it.
Well, and also it gives the rest of the general public a chance to see how they perform and just also learn about the product in general before they buy themselves. So these tournaments are a great source of information on a lot of product.
You bet. And one of the guys that's won a lot of tournaments the last year or so is Corey Springle, a young gentleman from over Minnesota way toward Dakotas. He guides over in Dakotas, I believe. Let's hear what he has to say about what they call ice trolling.
Talking to Corey Springle, one of the, I guess, winning this guy's out there, it sounds like, for what I've been hearing from Mr. Parsons on the walleye fishing. You're out there ice fishing, too. You're in the clam team. And you know, any good tips for guys out there on walleyes in the wintertime?
You know, one thing about wintertime ice fishing, I think the biggest misconception a lot of people get is they feel like they have to jig slow and they have to, you know, be real lethargic, like, you know, that fish is not, you know, doesn't have a lot of aggression, they're moving around slowly, which the fish are doing. But the biggest trigger to any fish, doesn't matter cold water, warm water or not, is getting that reaction bite out of it. You know, moving aggressively, jigging aggressively. You can almost change the mood of that fish by how you jig. And one thing I like to do when I'm walleye fishing, especially ice fishing, is being super aggressive. I mean, I'm moving that bait really fast, you know, constantly shaking it, but I always want to be above them. You know, one thing about a walleye is a predator fish. It's used to chasing something. It doesn't want it to be, you know, just sitting in front of its face, just wiggling. Try making it act like it's getting away. Everything that they eat is always trying to get away from them. So, but, you know, moving that bait away from them, jigging very aggressive, you're going to get that reaction strike where that fish doesn't think twice and it just eats it. it. You know, I never want to let a walleye study a bait.
This is kind of what we're seeing going on in the summertime with the jigging wraps and jigging spoons and rattle wraps, that type of stuff. You're covering a lot of water, but what I understand the guys are doing is they're drilling a lot of holes and just jumping from hole to hole to hole, looking for those active bites. Is that correct?
Yep, exactly. I mean, I actually guide in Devil's Lake in the wintertime for the Perch Patrol. I mean, so I do scouting every day. I mean, I guide 7 days a week, and we fish walleyes and perch, but, I mean, I won't spend more than 5 to 10 minutes in a hole and before I'm moving on. If there's any active fish in that area, they're going to come to whatever you're using. I usually use some kind of spoon with a rattle or a very noisy bait to draw in any fish. It might not be the bait that I'm going to finish those fish with, but it's going to show me if they're down there. And if I don't see anything in 5 to 10 minutes, I go to the next hole.
It's kind of amazing how aggressive you can get, actually, and those fish will still hit that. I mean, it's blown my mind as far as you catching walleyes. It's a whole new game.
Exactly, especially the bigger the fish. I mean, it's nothing to rip that bait 2 or 3 feet sometimes and let it fall right back in that fish's face or just above it. And, you know, sometimes that's what they want. They'd rather not stare at something.
Well, that makes total sense because, you know, we've known for years when it comes to walleye tournaments, probably the most winning game is the trolling game. Mm-hmm. And trolling, I think there you're getting a responsive bite on everything. You're moving so fast that they respond to it. They're not looking at eating it.
Yep, and it's one thing. It doesn't matter, panfish, whatever. If a fish wants to see what something is, the only way that it can check and see what it is put it in its mouth. It doesn't have a pair of hands where it can just go grab that bait. So that's where jigging very aggressively shines, because you're not letting that fish study that bait. If it wants to see what it is, or if it annoys it enough, or it wants it to catch it, it's got to put it in its mouth, and that's when we have that fish hooked up. So it's the best of both worlds. It just gives that fish no chance to study anything. You might not have the best color on that fish really wants, but it's still interested and curious. It's got to put it in its mouth.
Well, kind of what I tell people too is you got two ways of catching walleyes. You can sit on a spot and wait for them to come eat something, or you can make them eat something.
Exactly. Yep.
Well, Corey, I want to thank you for coming on here.
No problem. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, it's an interesting concept. Nothing new. You just got to be looking for the aggressive fish. You know, that's what they're trying to do nowadays. We're seeing a lot of guys going after the active fish. You could sit on one hole forever and wait for the fish that are there to become active and to bite on something. But there's always a small number of fish out there, it seems like, that are active or more aggressive. And if you cover a lot of water in the summertime, or if you cover a lot of water through holes in the wintertime, you can find those aggressive, more active fish and pick up a fish here, pick up a fish there, while you're otherwise just sitting there waiting for something to happen.
Exactly, and back to the whole learning from these tournaments, you know, that's how a lot of guys, when they're bass fishing, they're just gunning from one spot to the next. And with ice fishing, that can certainly pay off as well.
You bet. You know, and some of the key things are the type of lures that you want to try. If you could crappie fish in the wintertime, for instance, or whether you walleye fish or pike fish, you want to try playing around with some of the more aggressive presentation baits. Some of the things like the jigging spoons, the Castmasters, any of the jigging spoons, even the tiny jigging spoons for crappies I've seen, and even bluegills, where that's the way that they seem to be working better than anything else. And other times you want to go back the opposite direction and go more subtle and don't jig it, don't move it, just hang it down there in their face. But I always start with the faster presentation first. Got, you know, a couple of my favorites are like Castmaster spoons. Jigging wraps are good. I like a little Northland Puppet Minnows because they're about half the price of the jigging wrap, and they do about the same thing.
Yeah, there's a few good options in that style. Acme makes one called Hyperglide as well. That's a very good lure. And as you mentioned, that aggressive action, if you have fish kind of off in the distance, that's a great attention getter. They're going to come in and investigate, and even if they don't, like you say, might not initially hit on that aggressive action, but it's get their attention, and then when you switch to that finesse, sometimes that'll be what gets them.
Here's a good tip, too, is to fish your way down to the fish. Stay above the fish. Don't drop your lure down into the fish right away. You'll see the fish on your depth finder if you got a big school of crappies or bluegills. You see the fish on depth finder. You drop your jig right down into them. You may just spook them. Fish down from above, slowly going down, and a lot of times they'll start to come up.
That's right. It's a lot easier for them fish to watch what's going on above them than it is below them.
Yeah. That's how they feed. Anyway, we're about out of time for this week, folks. I want to remind you that if you miss a show, you can always get that show on our podcast. You go to our website at wnoradio.net, and from there you can link through to our podcast on Podbean. It's also on Spotify on your phones. Anyway, we're out of time for this week. Thanks, Trent.
You're welcome, John. Thank you.
And we'll be back again next week with another interesting show.
With me, I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.